Hey, folks, in this interview, I'm talking with Joel Baer about Photoshop.
This is TWiP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I am your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today, a long-awaited interview. I've been wanting to get this guy on the show forever and ever. I finally got him, nailed him down. Adobe has trapped him in a conference room at their headquarters. It's Joel Baer. He's a principal product manager for Photoshop, you know, an application that you may have heard of. Joel is on the show today to talk about Photoshop, obviously, but we're gonna dive a little bit deeper. We're gonna talk about the past, a little bit about the past. We're gonna talk about the present in terms of competition and competitive forces, Creative Cloud, all that stuff. And then hopefully we'll get a little bit into the future. Where's Photoshop going? What's next for this world-changing, groundbreaking application? Joel Baer, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Frederick. I've been looking forward to this as well.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome, man. I'm really looking forward to this. So let's just dive into it. So a little bit about you. So I mentioned that you are you're a principal product manager for Adobe Photoshop, right? So what does that mean exactly? What does that mean that you do?
As a product manager, we sort of we're advocates with the customers. We work to understand the needs of various industries, where things are going with technology. We monitor sort of the roadmap for the near and far term. Ultimately, our job is to make sure that we are building a product that people are happy with and it's meeting their needs and delighting them, in short.
I love it. And giving us the tool to create amazing things, right? So, yeah, exactly. like we were talking about before we started recording, I've been using Photoshop for a while, since Photoshop version, I want to say 2, maybe even 1, but version 2 for sure.
Yeah.
And this is pre-layers, right? Because layers showed up in version 3. So,
right.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. Layers made it a little bit easier to work with Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, from there to now, I remember the cadence was almost yearly. And you and I spoke, I spent some time working at Adobe myself on the Lightroom, the Lightroom Photoshop team. You know, the cadence of software releases has changed, right? And back then it was sort of a big deal. You know, we're launching these new features. Hey, layers are showing up, you know, and this is why it's the best thing in the world. Now the release of new features has changed a little bit. Is that because of the Creative Cloud? Because now you can make smaller releases more often, or is there some other force at play?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, that's one of the major benefits of Creative Cloud is that you do have access to the latest and greatest as soon as it's ready to ship. And, you know, I think in the past, you're right, it tended to be about every year, maybe every 18 months, 2 years sometimes, between like major releases. And we've been able to tighten that up a little bit due to the model of as soon as it's ready, you've got it.
Push it out.
Yeah.
Why make people wait for it if the feature's there? And I appreciate that model. I mean, that model, you know, you don't want to wait years. I mean, especially now, everything moves so fast. The whole companies are born and go away in a year.
Right? Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit deeper. So the Creative Cloud piece of that equation has been sort of, you know, some people revel in it, you know, especially Adobe stockholders, right? They love it, you know, and then other people are like, you know what, you know, every month, why do I have to pay for that? I want to own my software. Why am I paying a subscription? Yada, yada, yada. Yep. Where does Adobe come in? What's the sort of party line to the naysayers, that people that are saying, you know what, I'm out of here, Creative Cloud, I'm going to go find another solution. I don't want to do Creative Cloud anymore. What do you say to those people?
You know, First, I empathize with them. I get it. I understand that lots of people are averse to paying every month for something when traditionally it's been available to purchase outright.
Yeah.
One of the benefits that I see, and I felt personally, like I was a student when Adobe moved to Creative Cloud. And for me, that meant that I didn't have to have $1,200 or $600 up front And I could subscribe for $10 a month, which it's a much lower barrier to try the product and, and actually get your hands dirty if you wanted to learn Photoshop. So that is, you know, one of the key, I think, benefits of moving to subscription is that barrier for people who haven't tried it, but want to, and want to get into their, you know, expressing themselves creatively with Photoshop. You know, they have that opportunity now, with much less upfront payment required.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that, you know, that was my assumption, right? Cause now, like, especially if you wanted the whole suite, right? I forget what it was called back then, but the suite of, you know, all the software in one box, right? That was, even if it was available, I know there was, you know, it wasn't comprehensive, but there was a lot of software in there and it wasn't cheap. You know, you were talking, you know, a couple paychecks, you know, to get into that, or a significant dent in your credit card, but to be able to do it for $10. Yeah, absolutely. Opens it up. But you still get a lot of flack from people about, you know, like the people that are used to the traditional software model, which seems to be going away. But the traditional software, buy it and you own the license to this copy of the software, and maybe the next version or dot releases between. And then, you know, they come and, you know, Adobe comes knocking again when a major whole number release happens. So those days are long gone, right? Those are gone forever. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and like I said, I empathize with folks who, would rather just own it outright. And, you know, especially with the cadence of releases, depending on how often people would purchase the software outright before, the cost of ownership for Photoshop for most folks has gone down. But I hear you. And, you know, what we're trying to prove to those naysayers is that we will deliver on value frequently enough that it becomes a no-brainer, that it's you know, you don't have to think about your subscription, that the value is proven.
Yeah. I think the more pieces of the Creative Cloud that you use, the more cost effective it seems, right? So if you're just using Photoshop and maybe Lightroom, or primarily one or the other, then it's like, you know, and I know there's pricing plans for just those folks, but, you know, and occasionally you need to jump into Premiere or to, you know, one of the other applications, but then you have to pay that fee in order to get into it. I think that's where people get frustrated. But yeah, in all, if this is what I tell people, if it means that Adobe's not going to go away, right, and this is the natural evolution for a company like Adobe to move in that direction in order to stay profitable and to satisfy shareholders and to continue innovating and making awesome software,
right,
then, you know, what would you rather have, you know?
Definitely. You know, we weren't the first to go to a subscription model. It's becoming more and more common. And, you know, I think subscriptions are probably here to stay in one form or another. But I totally agree with you that moving to subscriptions has afforded Adobe to invest more in research and technology that will come into the products and enable us to keep innovating.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah, keep going. There's lots of work to be done, right?
There's a lot of work to be done.
There's lots of pixels that need punishing. So let's talk about this. So from the standpoint of competition out there, to the extent that you can talk about it, there's a lot of competition, right? So, you know, nipping at Lightroom's and Photoshop heels is Capture One. There's Skyloom with their software. There's On1 Photo Raw. It goes on and on and on, right? All these different apps out there that attack the issue differently. Some are more efficient and faster than others, but they're all solving for the same: give me your photos, let me organize them, let me help you edit them, and let's do some surgery on them. How does Adobe feel about the competition? Because I remember when I was at Adobe, the landscape wasn't like this. The landscape was Aperture, you know, from Apple, which is now long gone. What is it? What's the internal sort of feeling now about competition?
You know, I I look at it from the perspective of a consumer, and it's great to have competition. I think it, as a consumer, you want options. You want to be able to look around and see what fits your workflow the best and your needs the best. And I think from a competitive perspective, you know, that competition is good for the product too. I think it's good for Adobe to have competition, because competition will drive technology further, and it will hopefully result in better products.
And I
think that is what we hope for Adobe products too, that, you know, there's room in this industry for options, and it's good for the consumer, and I think it'll be good for Adobe products as well.
No, I agree. And it's just pure capitalism, right? So there's this, the survival of the fittest, or Darwinism, where you've got the fact that there's a lot of fish in the pond with Photoshop. It forces Photoshop to be better and more efficient, less lose market share to, you know, a newer kid on the block. So with that said, if you look at this stuff and you have, you know, the photographers out there, advanced amateurs, semi-pros, pros, etc., have all these choices. And if they decide, you know what, I'm going into Creative Cloud, I'm going to live there, they've got everything I need, you know, that's going to be the operating system for my creative life. What's the flow? Like, what it, from inside the world of Photoshop, is the path of ascension that, okay, they'll grab Lightroom, then they'll grab Photoshop and marry them together, and then they'll start getting into YouTube, so they're going to need Premiere, you know, and on and on and on? Or is it just segmented by specific markets? You know, we know that pros need this, you know, people that aren't making money with photography need this, and beginners need this. How do you look at it?
You know, one of the beautiful things I think about Photoshop and the Creative Cloud is that there are many paths. It can make it a challenge to develop a product like Photoshop, because there are so many diverse interests and pathways, you know, depending on a user's skill level, whether they're using it for work or for hobby, and the output as well. So it's, you know, I guess I hate to say this, but there is no one size fits all. You know, it's really difficult to segment in that way, because the needs are so different. You know, creativity is for most people a non-linear activity, and the beauty of Photoshop, and I think the Creative Cloud as well, is that it supports so many pathways, that the creativity really is unlimited. For a user who comes into the Creative Cloud and wants to be able to expand their abilities and their interests.
What do you say to the people that want to, they're, like I said, they're sold on the Creative Cloud, and they come in there and they're just overwhelmed. Like, any one of the applications that you launch, Photoshop, you know, on down to Lightroom, it's powerful, right? I mean, there's all these tools in there that people in Hollywood are using on billion-dollar films, and grandma's using next door to edit, you know, pictures of her grandkids. So if someone's new to the software, what's the path of least resistance to getting in there and actually becoming competent with the software?
Yeah, I've found, for me personally, as well as customers that I meet with frequently, one of the biggest helps is just having a passion, you know, having a project or an output that you really want to get done. And that, you know, focuses the learning curve goes down. If you really know what you want to create, and if you have that vision in mind, then you know what to search for if you need help. You know where to find examples of similar work. I think that's one of the key things is just to have a project, you know, do something that you care about and start there. And, when you reach a split in the path, then you can decide which way to go. But I think the biggest thing is to be passionate about something and to start with something that you really care about.
Yeah, it's like begin with the end in mind, right? You don't
right.
you don't get in the car and then go sit on the highway and like, you know what? I need to go somewhere, but I don't need to know where to go. You need to know that, hey, I need to get from point A to point B, and to get there, I need to turn here, turn left there, do this, and then you figure it out along the way. And if you hit a roadblock, you navigate your way around the roadblock to get to it. Same with learning Photoshop, right? Like if you start with, you know what, I want to build a composite of Iron Man suiting up, you know, or something like that, then you have to figure out how to do that and research and watch videos and, you know, understand the process in order to get to the conclusion.
That's exactly right. And I think just starting and jumping in, even if you don't have all the answers, is, and that's I think true for many creative endeavors, whether it's playing an instrument or, you know, other mediums of art, that you don't always, you don't need to have it all figured out when you're getting started. And, that's, you know, the journey is very satisfying, I think as well. When you do figure out how to, work around those obstacles that you mentioned and you start to see your vision right there on the canvas come together.
Yeah. And you learn a million things along the way, which will then apply to the next vision that you have, and it'll become even easier and easier and easier. Yeah, and the whole thing is fun. I mean, it's like, you know, you're having fun, you're creating realities. In fact, at one of the talks that I just recently did in New Jersey, I challenged the audience to create their own cinematic universes, you know, because you've got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC Cinematic Universe, you know, all these different universes that Hollywood creates for us. Why not use tools like Photoshop to create your own and, you know, do instead of creating a full-on blockbuster movie, which tells another part of that universe's story, you can create a photo that tells a different part of your own personal universe's story, you know, whatever it happens to be. So yeah, it could be interesting in a different way to think about it. So here's one of the last directions I wanted to take the interview in, Joel, and that's the, you know, Apple recently announced at their WWDC developers conference the iPad OS version 13, or iOS 13, with all these cool features in it now. You know, you can plug in hard drives and do all this other cool stuff. So it's becoming more and more like a computer. And I remember back at one of the recent Adobe Maxes, Adobe mentioned that Photoshop was going to be coming to the iPad.
Yes.
Is it here? Can I get my hands on it?
yes, there is a beta program. We have thousands of users in it who are trying it. It's on the way. I can't speak to too many details, but I can tell you that it's coming this year in 2019. We're excited about it. And you know, what we've heard from Photoshop users is that, you know, it's great to be able to sit down at a workhorse, you know, a powerful machine or even a laptop and push pixels. Mm-hmm. But you're not always tethered to the desktop or to even your laptop, and having that flexibility to create on a highly portable surface like an iPad is one less blocker in the creative workflow.
Yeah.
And you know, a surface that can allow people to capture that inspiration on the fly when they're on the go.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I think it's needed. You know, I don't necessarily need Photoshop on my phone, you know, per se, but maybe a light, you know, I mean, no, there's a light version where you can do some things in there, but I need on the tablet or on the iPad is the full on no compromises Photoshop, you know, the real Photoshop. And I want to be able to open Photoshop documents I create on the desktop on my iPad and vice versa, and maybe share them through Dropbox or something. So that's my wish for the developers.
Yes. Stay tuned. You know, we're hard at work on it and we're excited to roll it out. Stay tuned for more info on that front.
That's cool. Yeah, I had to put you on the hot seat or else I'd get flack for not asking you that.
No, that's totally fine.
Yeah. All right. So here, let's wrap it up. So speaking of things that are coming, you know, I know, again, you know, you can't really talk about unreleased features and things like that, but can you give us a direction? You know, where things are, we've seen, we know what Photoshop's UI is iconic, right? So I sympathize with the fact that it's iconic. So it's kind of like, you can't really change the Statue of Liberty because it's, you know, it's there, but at the same time, creatives' minds change, the zeitgeist of design changes over time, you know, dark mode, all these different things change how we perceive things. Where's Photoshop going in this mix, you know, or where would you, as the principal product manager, where would you like it to go?
Well, there's, you know, I agree with your points on times change, zeitgeist changes, technology changes, and our goal is to ensure that, you know, just as I was tinkering in Photoshop, you know, in middle school, high school, that the next wave of creatives has Photoshop at their disposal in their toolbox, and you know, I think for Photoshop, we're moving into an era when Photoshop will not just be on the desktop. You know, just like you said, we've announced Photoshop for the iPad. That's super exciting. And I think along with that, you'll see Photoshop moving toward a system to where there's the seamless interoperability between the surfaces. There's opportunities there to go other directions with new technology and research that we have that takes advantage of machine learning and deep learning, not to replace creativity, but to remove the drudgery of work in Photoshop that's sometimes not fun and doesn't feel creative, but that is required to get a highly accurate output. In addition to that, you know, there's sort of table stakes things that we're always doing to improve Photoshop and the performance, the file handling, supporting new formats, new technologies. You know, I think it is interesting that Photoshop has not dramatically, well, it has dramatically changed, but as far as, you know, to version 2.0, when you first started using it, you had layers, you have ultimately like pixels, and you have tools to manipulate those pixels and push them in new directions. Yeah. And that fundamentally has not changed much. And as we move into the future with our, you know, over the next several years or in the short-term horizon, there's always things we can do to make those workflows more efficient, more accurate, more stable. And those are the things that I think make Photoshop users really happy are more stability, better performance, smarter ways of doing the same thing, trimming time off your creative process. And, you know, especially like I'd mentioned, for the things that are not always delightful or can seem monotonous.
Yep. No, I agree. Yeah, it's kind of like to continue my highway and car analogy. It's the roads are pretty much the same. The car and the comfort and the speed of that car is getting better and better, right?
Right.
And it's, but the fundamentals of that car, the steering wheel, four wheels, gas pedal, brake pedal, all those things are pretty much the same. That's how you operate a car. But now we have all kinds of cool stuff in there that allow us to get to our destination easier. In the context of Photoshop, I 100% agree with you with the idea of Photoshop and technology is not there to give us all these whiz-bang amazing things, but it's there to make, to reduce the friction between our vision and where we are. Like, you know, the introduction of, you know, content-aware technologies within Photoshop, you know, that just reduced the, or increased the things that we could do and reduced the skill level needed to get to the end result, or smart selections, or, you know, smart objects, et cetera, all these things that Adobe puts in place that just sort of operate behind the scenes, quietly helping us realize what's in our mind's eye faster. Right. And and it's interesting because whenever those new tech, I'm not obviously not as smart as the Adobe you know, scientists over there. But whenever something new gets introduced, I didn't even know I needed it until I saw it, like content aware scale and all, you know, all these types of technologies that they're working on. So I want to know, I know you can't tell me, but I want to know what's coming next. Like, what don't I know? What don't I know? I don't know.
What's yeah, the next that's, I'm trying to think of how to, I can't give you too many specifics. But, you know, like I said, I would plus one your comment about removing the friction, reducing obstacles in achieving your creative output. There are things in post-processing or creating with digital tools that feel fun and liberating and like you're scratching that creative itch. And there are aspects of that that feel monotonous and like you're not being creative, mm-hmm. even though you're using those same tools. And I think that's an area that we're very interested in is limiting those things that that feel like friction rather than expression.
Yeah. And then there's all kinds of directions things can go, right? Because there's, you know, like we talked about the WWDC conference from Apple, one of the major parts of it was augmented VR, you know, and talking about that. And when I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, this is another canvas for photographers or for content creators to express themselves in a completely new medium, putting yes. objects in the real world, which companies like Adobe are going to have to swing into action and get right. us the tools to be able to create that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, so. And that is an area that you know we've been passionate about as well, and are investing in and working toward. It's like you said, when you start playing with different dimensions in space and lighting, I believe that Adobe should have a presence there, and that is something that we're investing in as well. It's new horizons of creativity, whether it's augmented reality, virtual reality, that those things are things that we're interested in.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so it's I feel like we're on a cross-country road trip starting in San Jose into New York City, but we're still in California. You know, we've got a long way to go on this journey. So that is good. So Joel, if people want to, you know, obviously Photoshop is Photoshop, so it's almost contrived to say if people want to learn more about Photoshop, where should they go? But what learning resources can you direct people to that you yourself personally think is a good place for either beginners or advanced amateurs to go dive into and start shoring up their knowledge about Photoshop?
You know, there's one of the benefits that Photoshop has enjoyed is great partnership with content creators and instructors. Adobe has their own Adobe branded learning content, but there's great content beyond that, of course. People like yourself, Frederick, you know, I would turn them to you. I'd say start with Frederick.
He's, there you go. Yeah.
He's, you know, you've made great content before. There's so much that can be found out there. But to tie into our, you know, prior discussion point, I think the biggest help is to have a direction, you know, have something that you really want to make, something that you're passionate about and that you care about. And, Adobe has great resources to help. We have in the product, we released this a couple years ago. We do have we call it the Learn panel, but it's there by default when you first open Photoshop. And it ties into some fundamental, you know, courses and short tutorials, short form tutorials. But beyond that, you know, Adobe has a YouTube channel with lots of great content. And we also, again, have so many great partners in this space. Other content creators, like yourself, you know, they're fairly easy to find, online, but, there's classes all over, which is another great benefit. a lot of free classes in certain places. So I'd say start with something that you're passionate about and you care about, and start on the journey. And you don't have to have it all figured out all at once. There's lots of resources there to help.
Yep, I love it. Yeah, there's a ton. You hit it right on the head, because there's, you know, obviously the mountain of content, the Everest of content that is YouTube, right? So there's a ton of stuff there.
Right.
But then, the more curated and carefully created content, not that YouTube's bad, but if you want a known source, there's Kelby, there's Linda, right. It goes Creative Live. There's a ton of resources out there for people that want to dive in deeper. But I think the salient point of that is, don't dive in and saying, okay, I'm going to learn Photoshop, and start trying to plug the Matrix cable into the back of your head to get the knowledge of Photoshop. It's better to begin with the end in mind and say, you know what, I want to build, I have the idea of this picture or this composite or whatever, and then deconstruct it and figure out how to build it, versus looking at a blank screen with a bunch of palettes on it and trying to decide to create something amazing, because it's chances are it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great approach, and you don't have to have it all up front before you start. And same thing with like learning the guitar. You don't learn every bit of music theory right at once. You get your hands dirty and you mess around and you explore, and it's really similar with Photoshop. I think the users who are the most successful in expressing themselves, they play and they explore and they figure things out as they go, and they find new ways of doing things and interesting ways of doing things, and it's great. You've always got undo.
Yeah, multiple levels of undo.
Multiple levels of undo. So jump right in.
Yeah. It's like, think of it, not to belabor the point too much, but think of it like a video game. If you're a gamer, you don't start playing a video game and instantly know where everything is and how to play it and become an expert and understand the controls right off the bat. Part of the fun of playing video games is learning all that stuff and figuring out how to beat the boss at the end of the level and all that, right? So the journey is the destination. And, I would advise people to think of learning Photoshop as the same way. You're not going to – I mean, I've been using Photoshop for a long time, and I'm still scratching the surface of it. But I'm a ninja in some ways in there, right?
Yep.
And other people are ninjas in other ways in there, and the things that they need to get done. So.
Yeah, that's super important to remember. Like, Photoshop is the standard. People, like you said, they know what it is generally. And I think people who are just getting started should have an expectation that there are times that it's going to be hard. That's going to be part of the reward as well. Yeah. It's very satisfying. And that's true for any creative output.
That's true for everything. Yeah,
there are going to be moments where it's hard, and it's not always going to be super easy and breezy, and that's why it's also going to be so satisfying.
Yep.
When you see that end result, and you got it, you got your vision to where it needs to be.
Yep, and you have all that stuff. I was going to say that much like life, learning Photoshop you could probably chalk it up to being a series of frustrations followed by periodic periods of epiphany and joy, as you figure it out.
Right.
So you're like, how do you do this? This looks like crap.
Yes.
Oh, and now you got it. Now you move on to the next thing. So,
right.
Yeah.
And like you said, our goal is to remove the frustrating parts that shouldn't be frustrating. It can be hard enough to get your creative vision out there and articulated. And that should be the hardest thing about being a creative is refining that your own vision and getting it to where you want to be. So, like we were discussing, Photoshop and Adobe is very interested in reducing the friction and the creative barriers that are encountered on that journey.
Love it. Joel Baer, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your time today.
You know, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, the pleasure's all mine. And if any of the memories from Adobe when I was working there are the same, you probably have another, 10 meetings today that you have to get to.
There's a few, but this is the best one.
Good. I remember my calendar looking like I was losing a game of Tetris. That's what my calendar looked like.
I could sadly relate to that, but I was glad to spend the time with you today, and thank you again for having me on.
You're welcome. All right, Joel Baer, thanks a lot, man. You have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
This is Twit.